Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīmadurīya kadambini ki jai, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Jayakai Gopremana ki jai, Jai Om Hari. Thank you all for coming. So this is a three-part course on Madhurya Kadambini, which will run tonight, next Monday night, and then next Tuesday night also, like that. So this class will discuss the first four showers of nectar in the Madhurya Kadambini, the first four sections, like that. So this book has been written by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. So I have some notes here, which we'll pass out to the devotees. So these will be your course notes for the course. So just take one and then just pass it on. We're hearing Krishna already. Not supposed to hear Krishna until the end of it, of course. Anyone who does not have a copy? Everyone else? Yes. Very good. Now, so this is a three-part course on Madhurya Kadambini, the first four showers of nectar. Now, Madhurya Kadambini is a treatise or a short work by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur, who is one of the acharyas in our disciplic succession. If you look in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, at the beginning of the introduction, it describes the disciplic succession coming from Lord Krishna through the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So if we go back in our disciplic succession through Śrīla Prabhupada to Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, to Gaukashodas Babaji Maharaj, to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the Baladev Vijayabhushan, and then Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur. So he lived, I believe, in the 16th, 17th century, maybe 300 years ago, 400 years ago. He appeared after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. So he wrote this book, Madhurya Kadambini, and he wrote many books. He lived on the banks of Radhakund. And when he appeared, the Gaudiya Sampradaya had become in disrepair. Just like after Mahaprabhu disappeared, then so many upper sampradayas emerged, and Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the actual teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the actual Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya became somewhat obscured over time. So different acharyas appeared, and they kept the teachings intact, The six Goswamis of Vrindavan kept it intact. Like that, and they passed it on to their followers. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Narottamadas Thakur, Shamananda, Prabhu Srinivas Acharya. And in turn, they passed it on and kept it intact. So it was always there in a pure form, although it became somewhat obscured by different sampradayas who called themselves followers of Lord Chaitanya, but actually did not follow his teachings perfectly. So then when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya from Mahaprabhu, it had become somewhat obscured, and he had to work very strongly to establish it, especially in Vrindavan, because there was so much Sahajiism, so much false practice, and so forth. So he had to work very hard to make it very strong at that point in time. And he wrote many, many, many books and commentaries on the Gaudiya literature, such as the Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. And he wrote many different books touching on Rasa Tattva, expanding upon the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, then Srila Rupa Goswami has delineated 9 levels of bhakti, beginning from. No, that's 9 types of bhakti. Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. So, beginning from faith, we have Shraddha, Sattva Sangha, Anatta Nivritti. I'll start again. Shraddha, Sattva Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Pava, and Prema. So these are 9 levels of bhakti. So Rupa Goswami mentions this in one verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has taken that one verse, and Madhurya Kadambini is an explanation of those 9 levels of bhakti, beginning from Shraddha to Prema. So that's what this book is. Yeah? So I've taken notes on the book, Madhurya Kadambini, and we'll go from the point of Shraddha, or faith, to the point of Nishta. Because we will not pass beyond Nishta in the near future. Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema, very, very, very advanced levels of devotional service. And we will not be reaching that platform in the near future. Hopefully in this lifetime we will reach it. But it is not easily achieved. This kind of bhakti is not easily achieved. It will take time. It will take very, very serious, serious commitment to actually get to this level. Like that. So we'll go from Shraddha to Nishta, because that is relevant to us at this point in our devotional practice like that. So we'll begin to read. So literally, Madhurya means
sweet.
Sweet. Sweetness. Yep. Right? And Kadambini means
dark cloud,
or means like a bank of clouds. So Madhurya Kadambini means a cloud bank of nectar or sweetness. Who is that Madhurya Kadambini? Who is that? Who is the source of that cloud bank of sweetness or nectar? This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the source of this Madhurya Kadambini. He is the source, he is the cloud bank of nectar. So we read here the Mangalacharan. This means invoking auspiciousness. The auspicious invocation, offering prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Srila Rupa Goswami from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. So, someone? So, the Siddhi Raja, just read that first.
So Kadambini.
That means you have to come on time, 7:30. Yeah, because this is not like class in the temple where you just walk in and out. This class means you have to be on time. like that. So next, if you come next week in 7:30, paka.
The cloud bank of nectar, first tower of nectar, super excellence of bhakti, Madhura Charan. The mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an uncontrollable cloud bank of exquisitely sweet nectar which fully regenerates the grains of ninefold bhakti in the field of the heart, extinguishes the scorching summer heat of lust by its sudden appearance, and bestows rapture to the universal river of the living beings. From far off, may these clouds of the Lord's mercy give satisfaction and pleasure even to this worthless soul, a dried up tree in the desert.
Mm. So the mercy of Mahaprabhu is an uncontrollable cloud bank of exquisitely sweet nectar. This is the Madhurya feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami has prayed Namo Maha Padanyaya, Krishna praying because the type of bhakti to Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha was already present in this world before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the very, very sweet form of bhakti which is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, which is called Madhurya Bhakti. This was given by Mahaprabhu himself, and this leads one to developing love for Krishna or Krishna Prem. Specifically, Krishna in Vrindavan. In other words, Braja Bhakti. This is specifically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. Because many other personalities appeared, many great Mahajans, many great devotees, many great personalities, and they taught pure bhakti. We see within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so much pure bhakti there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially and specifically taught Krishna Prem, or distributed Krishna Prem, or love for Krishna, particularly in the mood of the resonance of Vrindavan. Now the difference between the mood of the residents of Vrindavan and the moods of the residents of Vaikuntha is that Vaikuntha Bhakti is based on Aishwarya. Aishwarya means awe and reverence or opulence. But the mood of the residents of Vrindavan is Madhurya, which means they worship Krishna out of sweetness. And the type of relationship is different. Within Vaikuntha, then the relationship is based upon Dasya Bhakti, as Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. This means servitorship. But in Vrindavan Dham, there is no pure Dasya. In Vrindavan Dham, there is only Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya Bhakti, which means bhakti in friendship, in parental ras, and in conjugal ras between Krishna and the gopis. There is no pure dasya. Everything is of the higher three rasas. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to deliver this type of bhakti, or this type of madhurya bhakti. So therefore, it is said that the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an uncontrollable cloud bank of exquisitely sweet nectar, which rejuvenates the grains of ninefold bhakti in the field of the heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that Krishna Prema is eternally within the heart of the devotee, but it needs to be brought out. Just like a seed, within a seed there is a tree, but you have to water the seed in order to bring the tree out. So similarly, within our heart is bhakti or love for Krishna, but it needs to be brought out, and it is brought out by the ninefold process of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. By devotional service to Krishna, pure devotional service, this water of this ninefold process of devotional service brings out the bhakti, or the Krishna prema, the love for Krishna is extracted from the heart. So Mahaprabhu is showering upon the living entities the opportunity to perform bhakti, to develop their Krishna prema. So ISKCON is one of the branches of the tree of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is mentioned within the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the Chaitanya tree, he compares Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a tree. And the two main trunks of the tree are Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. And from them there are so many branches. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami lists many, many of those branches, 70, 80, 90 of those branches he lists within the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada mentions one of those branches is ISKCON, which means one of those branches is Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada, out of humility, did not claim that he was one of the branches. But factually, that's what it is. So, ISKCON is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anga, or branch, which is growing out all over the world to spread this Krishna bhakti. This Krishna prema is being distributed through ISKCON and other institutions, but primarily ISKCON, throughout the world. This exquisitely sweet nectar from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being distributed through ISKCON all over the world to give every living entity within the universe an opportunity to develop their Krishna prema, or their love for Krishna. So this is the potency of ISKCON, because it is ISKCON, Prabhupada said, ISKCON is his body. ISKCON is non-different from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is empowering ISKCON, to spread this Krishna consciousness on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It extinguishes the scorching summer heat of lust by its sudden appearance and bestows rapture to the universal river of all living beings. From far off, these clouds of the Lord's mercy give satisfaction and pleasure even to this worthless soul, a dried up tree in the desert. Love that. Very beautiful prayers. Rossi, can you read the next little?
So previous Mahajans have taken up the path of bhakti. Now by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami, one attains the intelligence to see bhakti in its complete rasa form. I constantly find my basis to him who is very dear to the Lord.
So, before we give class, and we chant one mantra to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Manovishna, Stapitam Yena Bhumave Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Vedati Swadam. So it means Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam, one who understands the inner mind or the inner consciousness or the thoughts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Srila Rupa Goswami. Because within the spiritual world, the topmost devotee in the spiritual world is Srimati Radharani. She is the topmost devotee of Krishna within the spiritual world. Now her most intimate maidservant, her most intimate Manjari, maidservant, her assistant is Rupa Manjari, who appears in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Srila Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami is the personality who understands Radha and Krishna's heart most perfectly in the spiritual world. And when he appears within the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, he is the personality who perfectly understands the inner moods of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore it is said here, though many previous Mahajans have taken up the path of bhakti, now by the mercy of Rupa Goswami, one attains the intelligence to see bhakti in its complete rasa form. I constantly pay my obeisances to him who is very dear to the Lord. So Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and his other books, he's completely delineated or explained the science of Bhakti Yoga. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is taking his teachings and expanding upon them. So that's what Madhurya Kanambini is. It's an expansion upon the teachings of Rupa Goswami, who perfectly understands the cloud bank of sweetness, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any questions so far?
What is the position of Krishna
Chaturthi
Thakur in the spiritual world?
He is a Manjari.
And he is under Rupa Manjari?
Everyone in the spiritual world is under Rupa Manjari. All the Manjaris are under Rupa Manjari.
Vishnu Chakravarti is also a Manjari.
All of our acharyas are Manjaris. From Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Gaugashodas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Baladev Vijayabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottama Das Thakur, going back to the six Goswamis, all of them are Manjaris. Like that. Any other points so far? Okay.
What was his name in the spiritual world?
Do you have that book, Appreciating Sri Vrindavan Dham, by Mahanidhi Swami?
Yeah.
You have that book?
Yeah.
Is it in there? Or is it in... There's another book by him called Prabhupada Radha Dhamma. Do you have that one? Okay, I think it's in that one. I think it's in a listing. It's mentioned. Who is that particular answer? Okay. So part one. Bhakti is self-manifesting and independent of any material cause. This is the first point to understand. The first part of the Madhurya Kalambini is that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he establishes what is bhakti. We have to understand what is bhakti, what is devotion. And it is defined perfectly by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he uses or he expands upon bhakti by quoting the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 6, which is Savai Pum Sam Paro Dhammo Yato Bhakti Rad Hoksaje Ahoituki Apatihata Yayatma Supersiddhati, which explains that devotional service, Savai Pum Sam. Pum Sam means all people, humanity, like that. Paradharma. Paradharma means the supreme religion, right? Paradharmo. Yato Bhaktiya Adhoksaje. The supreme religion for all of humanity is bhakti to Adhoksaja. Adhoksaja means that person who is transcendental to the modes of material nature, or is transcendental to this world. That is Krishna. That is God. So bhakti to God is the highest religion. Mm-hmm. Now, ahoituki, apratihata. The Srimad Bhagavatam says the bhakti must be ahoituki, to be pure. Ahoituki means without motivation. Right? As long as there's any tinge of motivation in our devotional service, it is not pure. Right? It must be ahoituki, which means uncontaminated. Means there cannot be any impurity. Then it's not pure bhakti. Right? And apratihata. Apratihata means without interruption, without cessation, continuous, always serving Krishna. Not just on the weekends. It is always serving Krishna. That is pure devotional service. Yayatma supersiddhati, that gives satisfaction to the soul, to the heart, like that. So this is the definition of bhakti, as given by the Bhagavatam. B. If one assumes bhakti comes from the good fortune caused by pious activities, this means bhakti is dependent on material karma. Now there are, this is explained by Haridas Thakur in the Haridanshatani. He says there are three types of piety. Kamonmukhi. Jnanonmukhi. And bhakti. Now there's three types of piety. Three types of sukriti. Sukriti means piety. It means good activities. So there's three types of good activities. Right? One is kamonmukhi. which means piety, which is generated from karma, or pious activities. One does pious activities. So we do so many pious activities. We give some charity, right? And we do some nice things for people, and we do some pious activity. And in the future, we receive punya. We get some pious reaction in the future because of that piety. Like that. Secondly, there is jnanonmukhi. Jnanonmukhi means we do some, we accumulate piety through the study of jnana. Yeah? We study the scriptures, we study jnana. We develop knowledge. And in, by doing this, we develop our pious merits, our sukriti. Right? And we may realize aham brahmasmi, that I am spirit. Right? We may get so much piety that we may develop so much sukriti, we become very advanced in our consciousness. That is called jnanonmukhi. Like that. So it is a type of sukriti. Like that. But then the third category is called bhakti unmukhi, which means the pious sukriti, or the reactions you get from performing bhakti or devotional activities. Now it says here, if one assumes that bhakti comes from the good fortune caused by pious activities, this means bhakti is dependent on material karma. So in other words, the bhakti itself, or devotion for Krishna, does not come from pious activities. It doesn't come from just giving some charity or cultivating jnana, cultivating knowledge. It does, bhakti does not come from this. This does not cause bhakti. Bhakti is only caused by bhakti unmukhi sukriti, which means, it means by performing bhakti, then one attains bhakti or devotion to Krishna. You have to perform devotional activities to develop devotion to Krishna. This is called agyata sukriti. Agyata sukriti means unknown devotional activities. It means that sometimes we don't know we're doing devotional activities. One example that is given is that in your previous lifetime, you may have been born in India. Now, you dug a well in one village. That is called punya, that is called piety. You did some pious activity, right? To increase your piety. You know, maybe not to increase your, but just out of goodwill. You did some punya, some pious service, right? But then, many Vaishnavas, while they're on pilgrimage, when they travel past that well, they take some jal, some water, and they drink, offer to Krishna and drink. Right? So that means every time a Vaishnava takes that, you do a jnana sukriti. Unknowingly, you're serving your Vaishnava. You're doing bhakti. Right? So in this way, you're making advancement. And even now, you may have dug that well 100 years ago in your previous lifetime, not even in this body, in a different lifetime. There may be a Vaishnava right now in India taking some water out of that well and drinking it. And you're still making advancement based on that previous activity. That is called agyata sukriti. Now, Haridas Thakur explains to Harinam Chintamani, when you do heaps and heaps and heaps of this bhakti unmukhi pious sukriti, agyata sukriti, that gives you the opportunity to develop shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Right? This is where bhakti begins. It gives you the qualification to take up bhakti. So bhakti comes from bhakti. It doesn't come from any pious type of activity, material activity. You can do so much material pious activity, but it doesn't mean you'll become a devotee. But if you do devotional service, even unknowingly, it will gradually purify you and purify you and qualify you to one day become a Vaishnava. This is how it works. This is the system. If you have any questions, you can ask as we go. You don't have to wait till the end. If one proposes the cause of bhakti is the Lord's mercy, then one must find the cause of that mercy. So some people say that it is the Lord's mercy that gives us bhakti. It is because the Lord is merciful, that is how we take up to bhakti. But this does not explain it sufficiently. Because then the Lord is merciful to everyone. So why isn't everyone taking up bhakti? Because Krishna is merciful to everyone. Suridam sava bhutanam. Krishna has said, I am friend of everyone. So why doesn't everyone take up bhakti? So it is not just the Lord's mercy which causes bhakti. Of course, ultimately it's the Lord's mercy. But it is not only the Lord's mercy, because Krishna is merciful to everyone. So why is not everyone taking to devotional service like that? One may say the cause of bhakti is the Lord's causeless mercy. If this mercy is causeless, however, one should observe the Lord giving bhakti equally everywhere. The Lord's partiality for his devotees is not a fault, but rather an ornament that enhances his nature. So we see that the Lord is partial to his devotees. You see that he is especially bhakta-vatsala. He is especially dear, or especially attracted to his devotees. That is natural. Just like if there's a fire in the building, and the mother and father run to save, there's many children in the fire, but the mother and father run to save their child and pull their child from the fire, then no one will criticize them. No one will say, oh, why weren't you equal to all the children? No, because it is their child. That is their right to have that type of attachment. So similarly, Krishna is like that. Right? He is especially partial to his devotees. We see that in his nature, in many of his pastimes, with the Pandavas and so forth. He is very partial to his devotees. So although he is merciful to everyone, but still he is partial to devotees in particular. So it is not only the Lord's mercy, who is causeless mercy, which gives bhakti. There must be another element which is there. Ultimately it's the Lord's mercy, but there must be other elements involved. Like that.
By talking
about the Lord's partiality, are we saying that it's the Lord's partiality which is partially responsible for that? Because he gets attracted to the other spirituality. Yeah, ultimately it's the Lord's mercy that we take to devotional service. Ultimately it's his partiality, like that. But it's not the only, this is what's being established, it's not the only cause. Or it's not, there's other elements which are necessary. Like that. And this is what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is establishing. If Krishna is not merciful, then we cannot take the bhakti. So ultimately bhakti comes from Krishna. Ultimately the opportunity to do devotional service comes from Krishna. But then how does it come? That's what he's trying to establish.
So he's trying to establish it by the sort of needy.
Like that. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's saying it's not this, it's not that, it's not that. In other words, he's bringing it down to what is the ultimate cause of us taking to devotional service. Like that. So it is ultimately the Lord's mercy. But how does this mercy of the Lord come into this world? That's what he's establishing. Like that.
Prabhu,
yeah.
What is the cause of
Bhakti Sukruti?
Agyata Sukruti. What is the cause of that?
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah. Just get into it. Proposing the causeless mercy of the devotee as the cause of devotion, one may object that the devotee is partial. So now Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is saying that it is the causeless mercy of a devotee which allows us to take Krishna's mercy. But then one may say that, a devotee is partial because they don't give their mercy to everyone. Right? Some people are very envious, so the devotee is taught to avoid the envious. So therefore, one may argue that the devotee, how can it be coming through the devotee? Because the devotee is partial. Right? Now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives the summary or the final answer to make us fully understand this point. He says that, it says in the Madhurya Bhakta, it's supposed to say the Majjhima Bhakta, the Majjhima Bhakta does show discretion. But the Bhagavatam accepts this as a natural trait of the Majjhima Bhakta. So what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is establishing is that bhakti comes through a Majjhima Adhikari. Now there are three types of devotees: Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari means the topmost Vaishnava. They are so Krishna conscious and so advanced that they see every living entity equally because they see on the spiritual platform. So they may not feel compelled or they may not feel a necessity to preach because they are feeling that everyone is already a devotee. And they factually feel that everyone is more of a devotee than I am. That is their humility, their fully evolved consciousness or humble consciousness. So therefore they may not preach. And we see some of the Uttama Adhikaris do not preach because they're so advanced in their consciousness. They just see everyone as equal. And they give respect to everyone. The Kanishta Adhikari, or the low-level devotee, also does not preach. Because he is very absorbed in himself. And he thinks he is the most advanced devotee. And he has a materialistic type of consciousness. So he's not a preacher like that. He cannot discriminate properly. He doesn't understand how to discriminate because he thinks I'm the most advanced. So everyone's naturally less advanced than me, so that's the end of the discrimination. But his consciousness is not correct, so therefore his discrimination is not correct. But the Majjhimadhikari is taught to discriminate. It is his duty to discriminate. And all the devotees here are Majjhima Adhikaris. Right? Different levels of advancement. Some of us are more advanced Majjhimadhikaris, some are less advanced. We're not Uttamadhikaris. We're not on that level. We're also not Kanishtas. Because we know how to discriminate. And we have to learn more and more how to discriminate. So what are the qualities of discrimination? The Majjhimadhikari sees the Lord as being the object of worship. Krishna is the supreme object of worship. He is the Ishtadev. He is our Lord and Master. Right? And then he sees the spiritual master as being worshipable. He worships the Guru. And he also worships the God brothers and the God sisters of the Guru. Right? As being equal to the spiritual master. And he sees the advanced Vaishnavas as being superior to him, and he offers respect to the advanced Vaishnavas. Those who are more advanced. Now this is the quality of a Majjhimadhikari. You must be able to discriminate. You must be able to understand who is more advanced than me. The Kanishta Adhikari cannot do this. A Kanishta Adhikari cannot see who is a more advanced devotee. He thinks I'm more advanced. So he himself cannot advance. Because he thinks I'm the most advanced. So his attitude is wrong. The Uttama Adhikari is so advanced, he thinks everyone's more advanced. Right? But the Majjhimadhikari, we have to understand who is more advanced than us. If we can't discriminate and understand who is more advanced, we won't know who to take shelter from and how to take shelter of them. How to make ourselves humble before advanced Vaishnavas. How to receive their mercy. How to receive their instruction. How to serve them. If you think you're more advanced than them, you won't want to serve them. So then you lose the opportunity to purify yourself. Get to receive their mercy. So therefore, one must learn to discriminate. Right? Who is a more advanced devotee? Right? Who is an equal devotee? Those who are equal, we make friends with them. Right? And how do you make friends? Rupa Goswami says, Dadati Pratigrinati. There are six loving exchanges. Right? You give gifts, you receive gifts. You offer prasad, you receive prasad. You reveal your mind in confidence, you inquire confidentially. These are Priti Lakshana. These are loving exchanges between Vaishnavas on an equal level. Like that. And then, those who are less advanced, we have to give them Kripa or mercy. Right? We have to understand who is more advanced than me, who is the same as me, right? And who is less advanced. And those who are less advanced, we have to give them mercy. Right? We have to give them instruction. We have to give them guidance. We have to teach them how to serve Krishna. That is the duty of the more advanced devotee, the Majjhimadhikari. If someone is less advanced, it is your duty to train them. Right? How to serve Krishna properly. Right? That is the Majjhimadhikari's responsibility. Alright, if there is devotees who are less advanced than you have to understand this. Right? And you have to help them and give them instruction, give them guidance. Right? Show compassion to them and teach them how to serve Krishna as you have been taught by more senior Vaishnavas and by your guru. So this is how the Majjhima Adhikari sees. Now people who are envious, who are non-devotees, he avoids them. This is his discrimination. Right? If someone is envious to Krishna, then we have to avoid them. Otherwise, they will commit offences to Krishna and to the Vaishnavas. So therefore, we do not. It is one of the 10 offences to preach the glories of the holy name to non-devotees. Yeah, anyone who is a non-devotee. Then we cannot preach to them, because they'll commit offences. So therefore, that is our discrimination. We give them mercy by giving them prasad. Because even if they're envious of Krishna and offensive, we say, here, have a bakora. Just take it. Have some halava. Right? That's as much as we can do. Okay. And we do harinam. They hear the chanting of the holy name. Like that. And we distribute books. But we cannot preach to them so much. So a Majjhimadhikari must discriminate. So it says here, a Majjhimabhakta does show discretion. But the Bhagavatam accepts this as the natural trait of the Majjhimabhakta. So a Majjhimadhikari does show discrimination. He has to. That's his quality. The Lord, being subservient to his devotee, lets his mercy follow the mercy of his devotee. The cause of the devotee's mercy is bhakti residing within the heart. So therefore, the conclusion is that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes in this first section is... bhaktya sanjayate bhaktya. He says that bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhakti is born from bhakti itself. Right? So... the cause of the devotee's mercy is bhakti residing within his heart. Because the devotee has bhakti within the heart. Right? The devotee has feelings of affection towards Krishna. So when one has bhakti in his heart, it is natural that he wants to give it to others. That is the nature of bhakti. And that is how bhakti is transformed. Right? Bhakti causes bhakti. Right? How did all of us become a devotee? Right? Because Prabhupada's bhakti. Because Prabhupada had bhakti, he gave that bhakti to his followers. And they gave bhakti to us. Right? So bhakti comes from bhakti, is where it comes from. So you get bhakti from the heart of a Vaishnava. Because the Vaishnava's heart has bhakti or love for Krishna. He will give that bhakti to you. By his association, it is infused. So therefore, we have to associate with advanced Vaishnavas. Because that is how we get bhakti. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Lord, being subservient to his devotee, lets his mercy follow the mercy of his devotee. So whether his devotee gives mercy, wherever Prabhupada gave mercy, then Krishna naturally... ultimately it comes from Krishna, it naturally flows through the devotee. Wherever the devotee preaches, the Lord manifests. Right? When the devotee preaches, just like when Prabhupada preached, so many people, their hearts changed. Right? Because Krishna appears wherever the devotee is preaching. If the devotee's bhakti is coming out, then the Lord goes through that devotee. Krishna Shakti Vina. It is by Krishna's Shakti which comes through the devotee. That's how bhakti is spread. I'll just summarize this and then I'll talk. So, the cause of the devotee's mercy is bhakti residing within his heart. Because the devotee has bhakti, then this is what causes the devotee to preach. So, that is how we get bhakti. From the bhakti within a devotee's heart. Because the bhakti within the heart, automatically, devotee feels inspired. He wants to give others bhakti. He wants to give others an opportunity to serve Krishna. And that is the mood in the spiritual world. One time, some devotees showed Prabhupada a picture of the gopis pushing Radharani towards Krishna. And Prabhupada said, this is the mood of the spiritual world. That is the mood. When one has bhakti, one automatically wants to push others towards Krishna. Because the devotee naturally feels, I want others to serve Krishna also. That is the mood of the devotees. That's where bhakti comes from. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's final comment here is, sadhana bhakti causes sadhya bhakti. In Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that the goal of sadhana, sadhana means practice. It means sadhana bhakti means devotion in practice. We are practicing bhakti. We're not performing pure bhakti yet. Our bhakti is practice. We're practicing to do bhakti. It's not totally natural yet. It's not perfect yet. But we're practicing. That is called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti causes sadhya. Sadhya means perfection. Perfect bhakti. Perfect bhakti is bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. It's very, very high bhakti. But by practicing, by practicing, by practicing, gradually we come to the platform of sadhya, which means perfect bhakti. But it will take time. But that is the... So, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's conclusion. This first section. That's it. Some questions?
Can we also say that neither karma-mukhi, nor jnana-mukhi, nor bhakti-mukhi, nor agyata-shukri can still be the cause of bhakti? Because when Srila Prabhupada met some of the devotees who were on LSD and whatever, Prabhupada, and then they asked finally Srila Prabhupada, we didn't have any kind of qualification. So Prabhupada said, I made your qualification, which we have promptly repeated. So can we say that even without agyata shukriti, Prabhupada actually engaged them in such a way that they developed it agyata shukriti?
No, that is agyata shukriti. What Prabhupada did is agyata shukriti. That is bhakti unmukhi. That's what it is. Is that answer?
Yeah. Just to understand this a little more deeply, Prabhupada, I'm afraid we should not come to the conclusion that it is the cause of bhakti is bhakti is true. And from what the last paragraph we read, the source of bhakti is bhakti in a pure devotee's heart is being transformed. But still, that is not enough to get bhakti because, for example, Prabhupada preached to say 100 people, but not all 100 became devotees. Only some became devotees and some did not become. That means there is another factor. Besides the bhakti in the devotee's heart, there is something more, which is that individual's, one of these bhakti should be there for it to fructify. Would I say that?
Yeah, it means that there's... as Haridas Thakur explains in the Harinam Chintamani, one must have sufficient agyata sukriti previously.
Yeah.
So when he's done enough of that, then he's called, it means the heart is fertile. It means Shraddha is born at that time.
So whoever Vishnu Prabhupada has blessed, they already have that sukriti.
No, it means that when Prabhupada spoke, like Melbourne Town Hall, when Prabhupada spoke in Melbourne Town Hall, so 300 or 400 people came to listen to Prabhupada. Some became devotees, some did not become devotees. Everyone advanced. By hearing from Prabhupada, everyone made advancement. That itself, or Prabhupada giving that lecture, is agyata sukriti. That lecture is agyata sukriti. Because they don't understand, they're listening to a pure Vaishnava. They don't understand, but they are. And because they are, if they're respectful, not offensive, then they make advancement. So that is agyata sukriti. But some of them had done much in their previous life. So when they heard Prabhupada, immediately and took up like that. So you only take up devotion if you've done it previously. If you haven't done it previously, then it takes time.
So if we go back like that, where is the reference point zero?
Means?
Go behind with the same logic. When is the first time that someone does?
Bhakti. When they meet a devotee.
Okay,
when they come in contact with
it. Shukriti doesn't have a cause.
No, bhakti causes bhakti. Why does a devotee preach? First time they met a devotee, some devotee went and distributed a book. You go to Tasmania, just like Theo and Uddhava maybe go to Tasmania on Friday to distribute books for a week. So some souls there may never have come in contact with Krishna consciousness. But they go there, and then somehow they come in contact with the devotee, that's where it begins.
They make
something.
Drinking the water from the well is a very good example.
That's a gyata sukriti. So when all this builds up, then one takes to bhakti. You know, why did we take to bhakti? It means something in the previous life. Otherwise, how did we take it up?
That's why we also have arguments to create a gyata sukriti for the living entities.
Yep. Yeah, that's good.
The Vaishnava sound is the same.
What's that?
The Vaishnava sound is the same. Darshana Poetra Koro Yitramara Gun.
Just by Darshana.
He visited holy places. Who saw him became devotees. Who saw them, they became devotees. So I remember one of their pastors. Some of the young boys in their hometown, they dug the well actually. So there was a Nasindev temple and it was not doing well. And they found out that according to Vastu, it was not in the right position in the world. So these boys, 6 months left, they returned the well. And the water is not used to bring prasad for them in the evening. They left the well. The temple is being now. So, I'm sorry,
even like the gentleman in San Francisco, he met so many devotees, he was driver.
Yeah.
He was a guest, very good example.
One time Prabhupada was lecturing in 22nd Avenue, and then one of the bums on the street, he came in, he was drunk, and he brought some toilet paper and he put it down and then he walked out. And Prabhupada said, see, he has made advancement. Because he offered something. Yeah, it starts all like that. Agyata Sukriti. Did you say something?
There is a difference between, like, Uddhava Prabhu and going to distribute books and somebody digging a well. Like, they are different situations. No? Here, the Vaishnava is trying to go and give his mercy, like, we are talking about bhakti causes of bhakti. But there it is the own piety of a person which is causing him to dig the well. And then somebody has water, some Vaishnava has water, and because of which. So there no Vaishnava has caused that thing to start, no?
No, because when the Vaishnava drinks from the well, the person who dug the well makes advancement. And the Vaishnava gives. The Vaishnava, it's by the Vaishnava's bhakti that we receive bhakti. When we do service to the Vaishnava, service to Krishna, somehow. Just like it says, Prabhupada said, when they see Lord Jagannath on Ratha Yatra, right, in San Francisco, for example, he's there in Ratha Yatra and they see him and the impression goes into the mind. And Prabhupada said at the end of their life, they see their whole life go before their eyes. And then when they're going through their life, at the time of their death, it stops and they see Jagannath's face. And then in their next life, they take up an opportunity to do more devotional service. So by the Lord's mercy of devotees, Lord, that's how bhakti is given.
And then all sinful reactions are exhausted. And when does not help you actually enjoy the fruits of a pious activities as well, it means that the time is neutral. At that point of time, it comes to that kind of thing. Is that the situation in the life of a person who performs a bhakti to be super? What is the cause of a bhakti in this super? Because the dhamma super apparently relates him to the Vaishnava. And from Vaishnava's heart, he gets the bhakti. So how does one not perform a karmon mukhi sukruti, dhyan mukhi sukruti? He performs a bhakti on his and then.
Bhakti on mukhi sukruti means jata sukruti.
Yeah.
I think. So he does it.
Is this unconsciously performed, or is there any reason why it is performed? There is.
It's agyata, agya, without knowledge, mm-hmm. without knowing, agyata. So without knowing, we do it. Like people coming into Crossways Gopals every day, they don't know it's prasadam. sends as vegetarian food. No, it's not. It's prasad. So they take that prasad, that is a gyatu sukriti, and then heaps, Vishnu Haridas Thakur says, heaps and heaps they take to bhakti. Right? So, after 2 years, we've seen some people come every day, 2 years. And then after 2 years, purified by the gyatu sukriti, Prabhupada says, you take prasad, the brain tissues become purified. They pick up the books and they start to read the books, and then they start to ask questions. This is how it works.
So people who come to Gopals and Prospects, we consider them more fortunate than those who go to other restaurants, although they are unknowing people in there.
Yeah, of course. Because there's no benefit. Because daivikya shagunamai, no. Mahatmanas to mamparta, daivin prakritim ashrita. Daivin prakriti means the internal energy. That's what bhakti is. Bhakti is the internal energy. It's a spiritual force. So therefore, when one comes in contact with the spiritual energy, that's when one gets bhakti. So you take prasad, you hear the holy name, like that. That's how you get bhakti.
So in the same case, if the people are coming to crossways and eating, what is the cause for them to come there only? What is the cause for them?
It means there may not be a cause. They might just like the food. The food's cheap. Mm-hmm. They like vegetarian food, right? That's all material. But when they come in contact with the internal energy, right, then that's a gyata sukriti. That becomes bhakti unmukhi. That's pious, spiritually pious activity. It's devotional activity. That's what purifies the soul. The other things do not purify the soul. If someone's vegetarian, that doesn't purify the soul. It may make one more able to take up devotional service, because he'll come to a vegetarian prasadam restaurant. But in and of itself, you can't go back to God there.
I was watching a video when Prabhupada gave a lecture in that university. And after the lecture, like, there were people who were really, you know, asking questions which are annoying to devotees and Prabhupada. So that way they're being offensive. Even though they are seeing Prabhupada and they're getting Abhyat Subhati. So is that they are getting souvenir on top of it, they're getting offensive. So what would be the reaction?
So it's like drinking milk with poison in it. Not that. Because you drink milk, you get benefit. But then there's poison, so you're poisoning yourself. So you're in the association of a pure Vaishnava, but then you're committing offences to him. Just like Prabhupada went to La Trobe University, they threw rocks at the car and everything. So those people, they offended a pure Vaishnava. Right? So all the benefit they made by being in the association of a pure Vaishnava, they blocked all the advancement. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The aparad locks the advancement. All the advancement may be there, but you can't get to it. It's like you have all the money in the bank, but when the bank blocks the account, that's it. Right? You can't. You may have all that money there, but you can't touch it. So the offences block the.
Okay, so we'll keep going. So we'll finish this. Unless everyone wants to stay up till 12 o'clock tonight. Which is okay by me. But you have to work tomorrow. So. Up to you. Part two. Jnana, karma, and yoga are completely dependent on bhakti. Bhakti is never dependent on jnana, karma, and yoga to achieve prema. So this was explained in the third canto that we just studied in the Bhakti Vaibhav course, that jnana and karma and yoga, it is the bhakti within those practices that allows one to advance in those practices. Because in all the practices there's deity worship and so forth. Just like I saw a video of Iyengar, who was one of the great yoga teachers, like that. So he was doing puja. Before he gave his class, he had thousands of people there to learn yoga. But before he class, he was doing some puja to Patanjali, who is an incarnation of the Lord. So he's doing the puja. So it's by that bhakti. He doesn't understand. He may even think he is the Lord, or the Lord is one, or, you know, he may even have, you know, disqualification. But the fact is, he may have done an arti to Patanjali. So that bhakti is what is enabling them to advance in their process. Right? It's bhakti that gives the potency in the process. It's not the process itself. It's not jnana and karma and yoga. They are not in and of themselves. They cannot purify. It is bhakti that purifies. But bhakti must be pure itself to fully purify. In other words, someone may, you may worship the deity, but if you think you are the deity, right, then you don't get so much benefit. But when you worship the deity with the right consciousness, with bhakti, right, even though the activity is bhakti, but when there's bhakti in the heart, then the activity becomes very powerful. Right? So it's not the external activity, but it's the consciousness when you do the activity. Right? That is where the potency is. So bhakti is not dependent on jnana, karma and yoga to achieve prema. So it doesn't matter if we're not very good at things. Because like some devotees are very good at cooking, some devotees are very good at making garlands. Even if you're not very good, it doesn't matter. If you have bhakti, right, then Krishna, ashnami, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I relish your offering. You don't have to be very good at doing it. You just have to have bhakti. Kolavecha Shrida, right, had nothing. He only offered Mahaprabhu some banana. But Mahaprabhu's favorite dish was some pumpkin, which was growing in the gutter of the roof of the hut of Kolavecha Shrida. Wild pumpkin. But he would take that from his pure devotee and he would give it to Sachimata and he would cook it in milk and sugar, and Mahaprabhu would relish that offering. So bhakti, it doesn't matter. It's not dependent on karma, it's not dependent on jnana. You don't have to be very learned. Right? Bhakti doesn't mean, oh, I'm such a great scholar. Krishna is not impressed by scholarship. Krishna is the Adi Guru. So it's not your scholarship, it's not your knowledge which attracts Krishna, it's your bhakti, your love for Krishna, which attracts Krishna. So bhakti is not dependent on anything material. Right? Doesn't mean if we're rich or if we're anything, good at speaking or good at doing service, it doesn't matter. Good at playing mridanga, it doesn't matter. It's the bhakti which counts. Krishna is attracted to that. Sometimes you see the devotees, you know, they may be very good at doing something, but it's all based on pride. You know, playing mridanga is so nice. It's just all pride. Oh, you give a class, but it's all pride. You cook an offering, it's all pride. You make a garland, it's all pride. You do the arti, it's all pride. You do the deity worship. Even sometimes we're so proud, there's not even anyone else there, and we're still puffed up. You know, it's just you and Krishna, but you're thinking, oh, I'm such a good devotee. So that kind of bhakti, that doesn't attract Krishna. Krishna is not attracted by anything material. He's only attracted by bhakti. Karma, jnana and yoga are dependent on conditions of purity in place, time, candidate, materials and performance. This is not true of bhakti. Now, Mahaprabhu mentions this in the second verse of the Shikshastika. Nana makari bahuda nija sava shaktis tatrapita niyamitaha smarane na kalaha. Na kalaha. It doesn't matter. Right? You can chant the holy name. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting. Right? Bhakti is not dependent upon all the external things. All the others are. Now, jnana, karma and yoga are all dependent on all the external things being perfect. Bhakti is not. Bhakti is not dependent on purity of the place, purity of the time, purity of the candidate, purity of the materials, purity of the performance. It is dependent upon bhakti. That is the essential element. However, it doesn't mean we neglect the other things. Just like it says here, purity of place. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna does not need an opulent offering, Krishna needs a clean kitchen. Prabhupada said that. That means purity of place. Right? Even though the kitchen may be dirty, if the pure devotee is there, then Krishna will accept the offering. Right? But part of Krishna's requirement is that things are clean. So even though it's not dependent upon it, but still, Krishna asks that things be clean. Right? All these things should be followed. Yeah. Although bhakti is not dependent on it, but they should be followed. On the path of bhakti, Though one may be afflicted by lust, one has the qualification, adhikar, to begin the practice. By the practice of bhakti, lust and other impurities are destroyed. So, for example, to follow the impersonalistic path, you may have to take sannyas, which means a very high level of purity. One has to be overcome sex desire and so forth. Within bhakti, we do not have to be so qualified materially that we've overcome our material discrepancies. We may still have material disqualifications. We have lust, we have anger, we have greed, we have pride, we have envy, right? We have all of these negative qualities. That is not a disqualification to begin bhakti. Right? So this is the potency of bhakti. It is so powerful that you just take to the process, it will purify you of all of your defects if it is done properly, attentively and without offense. Right? If we apply ourselves properly to the process, it will purify you of all the disqualifications. They will overcome. Bhagavatam says, akama sarvakama va mokshadara udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Even if you have material things in the heart, still you should go to Krishna. You should worship. And he will remove these things. If you ask him to, you say to Krishna. Particularly if you say to Lord Nisringadev. If you say to Lord Nisringadev, please remove my impurities with my heart, then the Lord will remove them. The Lord easily gives liberation, but not bhakti. So Krishna will easily give liberation. But bhakti is sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means it is rare. Because why? It captures Krishna. Sri Krishna Kashani. Right? It captures Krishna. It controls Krishna. So Krishna will not give that which will control him unless he is convinced that he can trust you. He will not give himself to you. He will only give himself to you if he understands that you will not abuse the relationship. So therefore, he's very careful about giving himself, about giving bhakti. Moksha he can give easily. And if you want to go, he just give moksha. He can give material assets very easily. But bhakti is rare. Pure bhakti is rare because it will control Krishna. So Krishna will only give it when he sees you are qualified. Part 3. Bhaktya Sanjataya Bhaktya. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.31. The fruit of sadhana bhakti is prema bhakti. The crown of all human ideals, purushartha moli. Thus, the all-pervading, all-attractive, all-life-giving, super-excellent, supremely independent and self-manifesting nature of the exalted energy, Bhakti Devi, arising from the Lord Himself, has been slightly described. If one still prefers a path other than bhakti, that person should be considered bereft of all sense. Only a non-human would refuse to serve the Lord.
Not you.
What I just read? It's not there? Part three. The last line. No problem. Srila Prabhupada ki. So next Monday we'll begin with the second shower of nectar, which means we'll go from Sadhu Sangha into Bhajana Kriya. And then on Tuesday night we'll go into Anathi Nivruti and finish with Nishta. Like that. This is like an introductory class, but the next two classes there'll be a lot of practical instruction on how to overcome anattas, especially the class which goes into anatta nivritti. It's very beneficial. So please come next Monday and Tuesday if you can. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.